This is the Buffalo Wild Wings Jerry DePoto Show.
We've got a really nice balance between veteran and young players, and I feel like we can keep this window open for a while.
Every Thursday at 3:30 with Danny, Dave, and more.
As much as anything, it's about our approach.
The latest transactions, the breakdown on the Mariners' latest moves, the reason behind the decisions that shape the organization. The Buffalo Wild Wings Jerry DePoto Show.
Nelson Cruz homered for the first time in, well, since June 4th yesterday. He missed a second home run by about a foot and then got thrown out at second base. And my big complaint last night, and I thought I was going to be the one that was really picking it a nit because I hated the replay review of that play at second.
Looked like he was in.
It completely looked like he was in. It's not just that. I don't get the Major League Baseball's replay review procedure. I don't understand it. We are joined now by Jerry DePoto here on the Venue Kings Hotline. And Jerry, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us here. Four more games before the All-Star break. Jerry, how much does your record and the team's results on the field impact any decisions you do about any potential trades or moves that you make down the road?
Very much. Obviously, if you are in a position, for instance, like the Houston Astros were in today, where you enjoy a padded lead in the West Division and you feel like you're waltzing toward the finish line, you're probably more inclined to play it out deeper into the month. And you do have the chance to go for the jugular and then see if you can really just bring in that one knockout punch that can solidify what is shaping up to be a great season. And the situation we're in, we're muddling along. We have not played well for the last 10 days, and it's really affected us. We woke up going into the weekend a game and a half out of a playoff spot, and here we are finishing up a three-game start to a homestand where we're back four, and it does. It affects your personality. It affects the way you think in the short term moving forward. But I think one thing that I've been very consistent with since I've been here and since we've talked about making moves at this time of the year is that you have to see both the present and the future. And we really do feel like four games back, we're not in a position where we have an insurmountable hill to climb. We have a lot of talent, and we are now healthier than we've been all year long. And oddly enough, as we have gotten healthier, we've played worse. So I don't know if it's that we let our guard down or we just haven't, achieved what we're capable of achieving. But we're going to try to make this team better for 2017. We do think we have a chance to make a run as the second half gets underway. And we are going to make sure that 2018, 19, 20 are part of the plan too, because with the foundation that we've built with some of the younger players we've brought on board over the last year and a half, we intend to keep our window open for an extended period. And this is just another chance to acquire players that will help us.
Well, it's got to be a hard thing to weigh out. So you're sitting here 3 weeks away from the trade deadline and you're wanting to get a better feel of what to do with this team. And I just sit here, talking on the radio, Jerry, and I'm going, well, God, man, I would really like to see the Mariners get into that second playoff spot. And yet there's another part of me that's going, yeah, but Houston is so much better than the Mariners are. And so how do you juggle all of these things and try and figure out what to do?
You don't really worry too much about the teams around you. Yeah, that's when you'll be distracted. You have to focus on what your needs are. And, we're very comfortable with the position player club that we have. And, I know our offensive, slumber over much of the last week is not to discount the fact that we have pretty talented offensive group and what we think is a long lineup. And when we're firing on all cylinders, we feel good about our ability to score runs. We get on base, we hit. We are athletic. We have a pretty good outfield defense now that I think ranks among the best in baseball. And our needs are clear. We need to find pitching depth and add on that end, both for the present and the future. And, like I said in last week's session, we are aware that these are the times, this midsummer and then again as we get into the holiday season, December, January, this is when you can tap into the market, particularly the pitching market. And if I worry too much about what the Houstons or the Kansas Cities or the New Yorks will do, I'll get distracted on what the Mariners need. And right now we have a pretty clear idea what that is.
Jerry DePoto, Mariners general manager, is with us. And Scott Servais, after the game last night, he talked about that this is going to be an important series here coming up against the A's. In your mind, kind of what's on the line here for you guys, Jerry?
Wins are wins, and they count just the same, April and July, and then in September. And right now we had coming into the month of July, or even finishing up the month of June, a pretty favorable schedule set up, understanding that once we come out of that All-Star break, whether it be a road trip through Chicago and Houston or a homestand versus tough teams like Boston, New York, we have a tough schedule coming out of the break, and then August is really long with only a week at home in the whole month. So this was our chance to do some damage, and we haven't done it. We've effectively held serve, which isn't good enough for where the position we were in, and we know that. So these four games represent a chance to, you know, basically start from the start. We have four games left. We're four games under 500. The All-Star break comes on Monday, and the goal is to get to that All-Star break as close to that 500 mark as we can, so that we come out on the other side and everybody gets that 4 days to get their legs underneath them, that we start running, because we are not going to have a chance to jog.
Jerry, I don't think there are many players that make it to the big leagues without being tough, both mentally and physically. Even among that select group, Nelson Cruz is kind of a cut above. We saw that last year when he played through the hand injury. It sure looks like he's being bothered by something in his legs. How do you guys monitor that as a franchise and kind of work with the player to make sure he's doing what's in his long-term best interest?
Well, in Nelson's case, his level or ability to deal with pain, his tolerance is insane how good it is. And he has dealt with one form of leg issue or another all year long. It was a hamstring. It's been a knee. It's been a variety. It was his calf for an extended period of time. And somehow he's able to go out there and do what he does. And, you know, Nelly's not, you know, just off the reservation. He's in the, you know, he's obviously a veteran player. He's been around for a number of years. He takes care of himself better than most players you'll ever meet. And he is definitely one of the tougher guys you'll meet. So the fact that he's grabbing the bat and going out there, we listen to him. If he tells us he needs a day, he gets a day. If he tells us I'm having a tough time moving, I'm having a tough time running down the line today, then we're going to give him the rest of the game off. And that's when you see Boog Powell come in, or Mike Zunino the other day come in and get his ABs. But, you know, we have to understand that over a course of 162 game season, that Nelson's going to need some days off, and he wants to play every day, and we want him out there when he can be. He's more communicative than most players, and he'll let us know when he needs some time. But right now, we wouldn't send him out there if we thought there was an issue or a problem structurally. You know, these are just issues that happen with veteran players, and particularly with their lower halves. It's a very hard game to play every day, and Nelly does a remarkable job of hanging in.
Man, a couple more inches even last night, and he would have had a second home run. This might be a question that's better for Nelly, but I'll ask you, is there any consideration of him maybe skipping or sitting out the All-Star game this week? I know it's a huge honor that he was selected.
It is a huge honor. I don't know too many players that don't want to be there, whether they're going to be able to play or not. And in Nelly's case, I can't imagine he's any different than the others. But you'd have to ask him that question. You know, he is a designated hitter. So, you know, what that means for him, I'm not entirely sure. But I do know that the American League is at an advantage if they have him sitting on the bench and a chance to go in there and take the one pop that hits the game-winning homer.
Jerry, you surprised that Robinson Cano won't be joining him in Miami?
You know, Robbie's had a great year to date. Obviously, you know, between he and Nelly being among the RBI leaders in the league, he's still throwing out an OPS that's well north of 800. And really coming into this series against Kansas City, he was outperforming a couple of the guys who actually made the team. So, you know, it's a little bit of a surprise. Second base has, you know, quickly become a pretty sexy position in the American League. And, you know, Robbie's just one of them. To do what he's done in the first half of the season and not be recognized as an all-star is, you know, I wouldn't call it a slap in the face because of the quality of the player who has made the team. But when you've got Robinson Cano's history, when you are continuing to do the things that you've always done in terms of producing runs like he is, it's certainly a hard or a tough pill to swallow. But hopefully the focus remains here on these four games and against Oakland, and not what's going to happen next week in Miami.
Jerry, I'll come clean with you. I just the last play of the game last night, I thought he should have run harder to first. And I know that he means so much to your team in so many other ways. I'm wondering if his quad is still bothering him or if you're okay. You know, so typically if he hits one to the second baseman and he jogs down to first, I'm fine with it. Last out of the game last night to the shortstop, I thought maybe he could have given you a better effort. But your thoughts on that?
An out's an out. And, you know, I've been here for a year and a half with Robinson. He has a very measured running style. That's the way he does it. In the at-bat prior to that, when he smelled a hit and we had the chance to get a rally going, he did run hard. And, you know, as a result, again, when you're playing 162 games like these guys do, and you know, you're in your mid-30s like these guys are, you have to take it easy on your legs when you can. And no one knows that better than Robinson. And I would say that do I feel better about the game that we lost because Robinson Cano ran hard on a routine ground ball? Probably not. And you know, I still wake up this morning. We just got swept by the Royals, and we got to figure out how to pull ourselves out of the tailspin. But I will say that in the moment, sure, as the viewer, is it tough to watch? It can be. And you know, it's not just Robinson. It's any player. And like in that moment, you have to understand how to manage the long season and not get too caught up in your own emotion. It's, you know, Robinson Cano more than any other player in our clubhouse knows how to get through the wars, knows how to play the 162 and set himself up to be ready to perform in a postseason. And I trust him to do that. You know, frankly, I wish he would have hit it over the fence and give the next guy a chance, but that didn't happen. So I'm not going to get too caught up or lose sleep in the fact that he didn't run hard down the line. He's conserving what he needs to move on and play today.
Jerry DePoto is with us here. And Jerry, I know last night was a gut punch of a loss. It was a heck of a game as well. And that Royals team, I mean, they've won a title. They've been in the playoff wars. It occurred to me, though, watching it, that their athleticism and the style of play that they have and guys that put the ball in play at the plate, is that in some ways what you're hoping to create long-term here with the Mariners?
Yeah, I love the way they play. You know, they play with an edge. And I think that's more rather than – I think we're every bit as athletic as most teams in the American League. You know, mm-hmm. Between Gerard Dyson and Ben Gamel and Guillermo Heredia and Mitch Haniger and Gene Segura, we're a very athletic group. You know, sometimes what you see on the field is when you get a team like the Royals who's been to the mountaintop and they start to smell it. Right now they're playing as well as anybody not named the Astros in baseball. I think they've won 20 of their last 30 games and they do have high-end players. I don't think they're any more athletic than we are, but right now they're playing with a different edge that we just aren't playing with. And, you know, that's last night you see it. I think the easiest way to identify it was last night they had three chances to beat the double play by a step, and they did, and we had three chances to, and we didn't. We missed by a step. And, you know, that effectively, that changes the outcome of games, and I don't think that has anything to do with our athleticism. Right now they're operating on all cylinders. They're the middle of their order, guys like Lorenzo Cain and Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer and Sal Perez, they're swinging hot bats. And, you know, right now we're generally neutral. We have not been hot. And, you know, we went on our hot streak 3 weeks ago, and right now we're in a lull. They're in their hot streak. And, you know, 48% of our season remains, and my guess is we're going to get on another hot streak, and we're going to have to roll off a 20 out of 30 to put ourselves in a position like they have.
Last week when we talked to you, Jerry, there were concerns about Edwin Diaz, maybe even questions about his closing role and whether he should keep it or not. But, boy, he's sure been good ever since.
Yeah, I mean, those questions weren't coming from me. I believe my general reaction to it was it's a no-brainer. He's been our best guy for most of the last year and a half. You're going to run into turbulent time. And yeah, you blow a save, which he did against the Phillies, and everybody turns their head because, frankly, you're not allowed to struggle when you pitch the last inning of a winning game. And, you know, that's the way it goes. The same thing holds true with Nick Vincent, who's often pitching the eighth. Now, Edwin Diaz has been excellent. He threw great in Anaheim. He came in last night in a tie game and got us across the bridge and gave us a chance to win. He's a young guy. He's going to have his growing pains. He's going to have days where he's inconsistent. But, you know, the only way you're going to get over that bridge is if you stick with them and you give them the opportunity and you show the player that you believe in them, because we do.
Hisashi Iwakuma, he's been shut down, is the most recent news, and some thought that maybe he won't be coming back this season. Is it that dire, or where are we with Iwakuma?
I couldn't tell you. Unfortunately, one of the things I do best is not play a doctor, and I didn't even really stay at a Holiday Inn last night, but I can tell you that Kuma is, if he can come back and contribute to this team, he will. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But obviously, prior to his injury, we weren't seeing dynamic stuff. We had seen a bit of a fall off in the physical stuff coming out for Kuma. He has been through a fairly extensive and now lengthy rehab in trying to get the shoulder back where we need it to be. And he obviously went out and threw a couple of minor league games for us, and we didn't see a real tick up with the stuff. And more importantly, we really didn't see a relief of the issues he was feeling or the level of discomfort he was feeling in his shoulder. So, you know, we're going to be patient with him. We understand he's thrown a lot of innings. And my thought with Hisashi is there are very few players that I've come across in my baseball life that are as focused and aware of what their body's telling him as Hisashi is. And his work habits are excellent. But when the player is feeling discomfort like he is, and maybe more importantly, when we can see the result. You know, this time last year, Hisashi Iwakuma was thrown 87 to 91. Right now, it's closer to 80, 83, which is a remarkable fall off, which his body is telling us that it doesn't want to do those things just yet. And, you know, we got to be patient with him. And when we get him back, we want it to be as close to 100% as he can be. And if that happens this year, great. If not, I will cross that bridge when we get to it.
Jerry, we mentioned last week and joked about the pitcher store and that it's open only a couple, very, very scarcely, a couple 30-day windows each year. I'll ask you now, just in general, what's the market for pitching look like for teams that are out there looking for a pitcher right now?
The store has been picked over. You know, there's not a lot right now in terms of certain availability. And, you know, we're still in the vetting stages of this deadline. And we've certainly had our conversations with many of the other 29 clubs. We've checked in on potentially available players, and we've received phone calls on the other end. So, you know, it's still a moving target. There are some teams that are clear buyers. It's a very small list. There are some teams that are clear sellers, and you know, among the clear sellers, it behooves them to drive the market and see how much closer to the deadline you can actually get in hope that you can achieve a greater return for your player. So, you know, I wouldn't say that the pitching market is particularly stocked at this point, but things could change quite significantly over the next 3 weeks.
Jerry, every morning I get my Seattle Times and I look at the Tacoma Rainiers box score. I'm interested in a lot of the guys that are coming and going between Seattle and Tacoma. And one of the guys who's been in Tacoma ever since he got sent down is Leonis Martin. Just wondering your thoughts on him and where he is, you know, and how you – I know that when I look at the AAA averages, I'm going, wow, okay, he's hitting close to 300, but I know that that doesn't translate to what you see in the big leagues. But what's the progress report on Leonis Martin?
Truly, he's been model citizen. Leonis had been in the big leagues for a long stretch, obviously a key element to what we were doing last year, got off to a rough start here in April, and we made the move that we did and right about when we got to the first turn, the first month. But he's gone down, and he's been a great teammate. He's been a leader with the Rainiers. He's performed quite well. I believe now he's hovering right around a 300 batting average with about 20 stolen bases and doing all the good defensive things that he's always done since he's been in a Mariners uniform. And you know, most importantly, he's doing it with a smile on his face. He has not pouted for a moment, truly, since he left. Unfortunately, our outfield situation is what it is. You know, we've got the league's leading hitter in Ben Gamel. We got a young, multi-skilled player that we really believe in, and Mitch Haniger. We've got our own 20 stolen base guy who's playing electric defense and is on base 33% of the time, and Jerod Dyson. And we've got Guillermo Heredia, who has, I can't even count the number of magical catches and key hits he's contributed over the course of the season. So, you know, what happens to be our greatest area of depth. And we don't truly consider Leonis a backup alternative. You know, it's to have Leona sitting on the bench would not do him a good service. He needs to play every day to keep his swing in a good place. And, you know, we're in a great position in terms of having depth in the event that one of our players is injured. We are also in a position where with four guys in the big leagues, plus Boog Powell and Leonis at the top levels of our system, I think it makes us a fair target for other teams who are looking for outfield help.
He is Jerry DePoto. And Jerry, as always, we're so grateful for your patience, and we just appreciate you kind of stopping by and telling us kind of where things are at. So thank you so much.
Pleasure, guys.